Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray that your words may be known throughout the world. And even as we pray that, Lord God, may your words find their place in our hearts. May we not forget that these words were also for us too. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So we want to jump right into the scripture verses, especially after what's been happening in this office. We want to make sure that our firm foundation is in the Word of God. And so I just want to jump right into it. We are going to be in the book of Hebrews, your epistle lesson this morning. So we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, and I thought we might start with verse 32. All right, the man's name, because I'm going to ask you to read with me, is Jephthah. Jephthah. Let's read with me, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. So I thought we'd go over those guys. I read this, and I'm like, man, I cannot preach anything on this passage. This passage has nothing to do for us today, and little did I know, when you dig in, it's like, this is perfect for us. And so I just want to go over these guys, these are household names, right? These are household names. Man, why can't you be more like Samson? Well, I need longer hair for that one. All right, so we go into some of these guys, well-known as they are, Gideon, Barak, and Samson. Samson, of course, had long, flowing Fabio-like hair. Never had his hair cut. He had great strength. That was his positive side. What was his negative? You guys don't want to admit it, do you? He had a small negative. Women. Chased after them and chased after the ones he shouldn't. He's like the pastor's kid that you kind of stereotype. Here he is supposed to be leading Israel, and he's going after every woman he shouldn't. God says, don't do that. And what did Samson do? I dare you, God. But God worked through Samson. Gideon, you remember Gideon? Do you remember Gideon? What did Gideon do? He took the army of God, and God says, that's too many. And so he says, okay, now, God, I'm ready to go. And God says, that's too many. And he took a few hundred men, and through God, not what Gideon did, through God. It was amazing what God did through Gideon. Do you remember before Gideon did that great thing? Do you remember Gideon saying, God, I don't think you're with me. I can hear voices inside my head telling me to go out into battle, but I just don't trust it. He said, if you would, make everything around the fleece damp, and then vice versa. He didn't believe God would do what God wanted to do. All right, so he had a negative. All right, Barak. Do you guys remember Barak? I could tee off on him like a par five. Barak, I mean, he went into battle. And so he wrote a song, co-wrote a song. The problem with Barak, even though he was successful in battle, the one negative he had is God told him to go into battle. I am with you. And God looked at this woman and said, I'm not going to go in battle until you go with me. Imagine that, a mighty warrior telling this woman, you got to go with me into battle, risk your life, because I don't feel like I'm strong enough. That was Barak. And yet, what do we see here? God's commending him for his faith. All these guys sound familiar. Can you equate with hon, I don't feel strong enough, I need you to go with me. God, I don't feel that you're with me yet. Could you send a star just for me and let me know that you're there? God, I don't have the strength to go through this. I don't know if I can trust you long enough. But this other guy I wanted to go through just a little bit. And his name was Jephthah. From the Old Testament, from the book of Judges. And interesting enough is, I knew the story, but digging into a story, you find the story within the story. And this guy was famous for being, if you see, Jephthah the Gilead was a... He was known for his strength. He was known for his strength. But he had a small problem. He had a small problem, but he was the son of a... Is that something that you can wear like a name tag? That everyone's like, yeah, we're glad that you're here. This is a small problem in Israel because Israel was waiting for the coming Messiah. And so they got into their heads, oh, we have to have pureborns. We have to have one of these 100%, I'm all Israel, I'm all authentic kind of people. And so he had a small problem growing up is that, I mean, like, no one would want to play with him during recess. No one would want to say, oh, you're that kid. So there was a small problem. Small problem with, you don't really belong. You see, he had one of those families, if we look at this, is because he was, in the eyes of his family, illegitimate. When his father dies, the sons are supposed to take on the inheritance. The problem was, because you don't have the same mother, we're not going to accept you. You don't get the inheritance. And this is a small problem here, is because they found reasons to exclude him. Because when you can find reasons to exclude somebody else, it makes what you think is yours. I mean, think of it. You take $100,000 and divide it by two. What do you get? Divide it by three. All right, 33, repeat it, 0.33 repeating. Take it by four. 25,000. Which would you rather have as an inheritance, 25,000 or 50? Admit it. You want the 50,000 is a lot more than the 25. And so you can kind of get the eye. Same thing with these guys. Let's find a reason to exclude this guy. Problem being is that you know as well as me is when you're growing up, you can find reasons to exclude your brother and sister like nothing else. You can find reasons in your own family to fight. And the problem being is that the problem is not money. The problem normally with society, with marriages, where you see problems coming up, money is just the thing that we fight about the most. The problem was is they did not see him as a legitimate family member. They did not see him as someone that God called to be his own. And you know and I know that as our family doesn't get along, as we talk about the family of Christ, the body of Christ in here, y'all know y'all don't get along. And that's part of the reason why I say, who are you sitting by? Who are you sitting next to? Do you know them well enough? That's why I say, as you can, get to know other people, because that's your family. That's your family. And we don't want to say, okay, they're not good enough for Christ's inheritance. They're not good enough for Christ's baptism. Let's shun them. And you know as a family we do that more often than we do the opposite. Because you and I both know that the main reason we're here is to hear the Word of God because we don't measure up to God's standards. Because we need the grace from Him each and every day to be reminded of that. Because we don't want to go away from these walls through these doors and say, you know what, I didn't get anything today. Because that is not at all is the case. We are reminded once again that you and I received Christ's forgiveness because we did not deserve it.
Because we are a family of God and He is our Father. Because He is a gracious and almighty Father. He doesn't say, you get some of this and you get some of this, but because you're more of, no. He says, you're all part of the body of Christ, and forgiveness in my name is free. And because you receive so much of it, because it is overflowing in your life, don't forget that because of a family we get to in this body, share that with others. Start with the ones in the pew. Start in the ones where you're sitting. So amazing enough is that Jephthah had a small problem. And it's one that I still struggle with theologically, because I struggle with what God does. And Jephthah, there was an invading country, and he was going to go out to battle with them. And he said, God, I know I'm supposed to go out to battle against these people. I know you're with me. And because of that, I'm so sure of that. Let's read this together. From Judges chapter 11, verse 31. Then whatever comes out from the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. You ever have one of those days in which you say too much? You ever don't elbow the person next to you? You ever speak without thinking? It's not the person next to you. I'm pretty sure it's the person in the mirror, right? You say something without thinking it through. And this was one of the biggest problems with this man, because the Lord was with him. And he routed this other people from coming into God's country and killing God's people. And he stood up for the word of God. The problem being is that he said, okay, God, whatever comes out the door to greet me, I will offer as a burnt offering. I will render that. The problem being here is this. Then Jephthah came to his home at Mizpah, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him. What did he say to the Lord? I will offer whatever comes out as a burnt offering. Whatever comes out, I will offer as a burnt offering. And what comes to meet him is daughter. And I struggle with this, because he said he would offer it up, and it was his only child. His only child. He knows what it means to be rejected as a child. And yet his only daughter comes out, and he says, God, I said I would do this. Can you imagine the struggle that was in this guy's mind? Because he promised the Lord he would do this. You know the most amazing thing? His daughter says to him, go ahead, Dad. I trust you. You made a promise. You must fulfill it. And the daughter went to her death believing the word of God. Can you imagine what it would be to be a father, to say, I will give my child because that is what I'm required to do by what I have said? To be in that struggle with God, I don't know what to do. To be in that struggle reading this and say, why did the Lord say, come back and say, hey, you made this promise, but the promise is not with your daughter. The promise is with a son that would come later, and you don't have to do this. And yet, because of what this man did, because he said he promised to the Lord, because he wanted to be faithful to what he says to God, the daughters would go out and remember the mighty hand of the Lord from this day forth. Because she was not to marry, they would go out with tambourines to the hills, remembering in song the mighty work of the Lord. And not what she did, but what the Lord did. I still struggle with this. What it means to follow a God no matter what. And so today, even as we go through this part of life and we face death all the day, Paul says we are more than conquerors in Christ. Even though the words are there, it's still very difficult in what we go through when it just starts to 2 inches all on you last night. It kind of felt like that. When life just begins to rain, and when it begins to rain, it just comes down, and things come in threes, but sometimes it comes in four, five, six. Sometimes it feels like life just weighs you down heavily and heavily. It's like, Lord, when will the rain let up? And the Lord kind of comes alongside you and says, even though you go through the rain and the storm, you go through the storm with me. And this is the God that says, be still and know that I am God. Even as he does today, be still and know he is God. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, this is a time of struggle for us. Lord God, even as a family of Christ, we still struggle together. We still struggle to how to do things. We want to hear from you, Lord, but sometimes we speak too soon. Remind us once again, even from the writer of Hebrews, that, Lord God, you see the good in us. You see and you write about why you died for us. Even as, Lord, we struggle individually to figure that out. Why would you come to earth to give your life? Lord God, the answer is you love us. We struggle to figure out what love truly means, to walk with you and towards you, not a God who walks behind us. Oh God, we thank you, the Lord, that, Lord God, even in the midst of our struggles, our pain, Lord God, through loss, through, Lord God, difficult decisions we need to make in life. Remind us once again, we don't struggle alone. Remind us that you are right there, pointing to the cross and what you did for us. That, Lord God, this is not our home, but you point us to the day in which we will always be around you, always be together as a true family. In your son's name we pray. Amen.